Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Carson's Corner, live here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bob Carson. Pleased to be with you. We have a groundbreaking show here today. Actually supposed to call in is Dan the Beast Severn, a man obviously you know who needs no introduction. We've been trying to get Dan on the program for so long now, and you know how we roll here at Carson's Corner. When we have anybody on the show, we like to ask in-depth questions, have in-depth interviews. That really adds to the landscape of mixed martial arts out there. And you know, Dan Severn is a guy. He's been involved with wrestling going back to the 1970s. His story is just quite remarkable. How he entered into the UFC, his journey, over 100 fights. You know, and arguably, I think Dan Severn has accomplished more than some of the guys that perhaps are more popular, you know, with the earlier UFC events, guys like Ken Shamrock, guys like Royce Gracie. No disrespect to them whatsoever, but you know, Severn was just an overachieving machine in the UFC. And so we're going to finally get a chance to speak to Dan Severn. We have a lot of questions prepared for him. And as always, you know, he's been making the rounds. He's been really doing a lot of interviews, and it's interesting. In one of his interviews with Submission Radio, I believe is an Australian outfit, he actually, some people say, suggested that he didn't want to win against Royce because of what he had to do to Royce as a human being to win, the punishment that he would have to inflict on Royce and whatnot. And we're going to, you know, ask him about that. We got just so much to talk about. It's really remarkable. And so we're going to have that. Also scheduled to call in is going to be Dan Quinn. He'll be calling in at 9 p.m., 6 p.m. his time. And that should be very, very interesting. I should have probably scheduled the show for 2 hours, but I wasn't sure what was going on with Dan. Dan just texted me, and he'll be calling in at 9 p.m. And so that should be really, really interesting. We're going to speak. This will be actually the first time that Dan Quinn has called into the live program after being released from jail. You know, we had some recorded updates with Dan, and Dan has actually uploaded some YouTube videos on my YouTube account. That's youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA. You can hear and view all of Dan's updates since being released from Sacramento County Jail. And that's something that not a lot of people know about. So we should be having Dan Quinn call in. We're going to promote this also on Facebook, too, to give a lot of people out there a chance to call in and speak to Dan. Most likely, it's only going to be on for a half hour. And so understand that we can go for hours with Dan. So that's coming up at 9 p.m. here on Carson's Corner. You just have to excuse me. I'm multitasking here. I am the jack of all trades here at Carson's Corner. We do so much here. We've had such a great run of success the last couple of years. You know, actually the last couple of weeks, Justin McCulley was on the program last week, and Justin McCulley really sounded off on Tito Ortiz. And Tito Ortiz, this is really funny, Tito Ortiz took to Twitter and started bashing me, bashing Justin McCulley. He had all sorts of derogatory remarks about the show and this and that. And Donnie Riley, my beloved producer, actually tried to get Tito to come on the show. He said, listen, Tito, the best way, instead of, you know, insulting the person asking the questions, instead of, you know, suggesting that we're one-sided and we're kiss-ass and all this stuff, why don't you come on the show? I mean, everything that I asked Justin McCulley about Tito last week, I would be happy to get Tito's side of the story. I mean, you know, that's what we do here on Carson's Corner. And, you know, Tito scoffed at the idea. He insulted me. And then what did he do? Tito Ortiz, a couple days ago, went on that same radio show, Submission Radio, in Australia, for a 20-minute, you know, interview in which the interviewers were basically, you know, slobbing at the mouth over Tito. So it's hypocritical for Tito to criticize me and then go on another show where the hosts do the same exact thing to him that Tito was accusing me of doing to Justin McCulley. It doesn't make any sense. You know, the thing about it is that when Stefan Bonner says that a lot of people have come out of the woodwork to bash Tito Ortiz, a lot of trainers, a lot of people that knew Tito, he's not making a false statement there. A lot of people have. In fact, we've had some of them on the show. Okay, and there's a lot of truth, I think, to, you know, what people believe, what people think about Tito Ortiz. And so, you know, that's very, very important stuff. And, you know, what Justin McCulley said, the listeners actually can make up their mind about that. But I got to tell you, you know, that's what we do here at Carson's Corner is we give everybody the opportunity. Anybody that wants to be on the show can be on the show. And I'll tell you something. You know, I've told this story before, and I still have the email on Podomatic. I remember years ago, somebody emailed me claiming to be Tito Ortiz, and I do believe that this was Tito Ortiz, in response to some of my interviews with Ken Pavia going back to 2008. And, you know, he was like, yeah, I'm a big fan of the show. I'd love to come on the show and talk to you sometime. And then I offered to book him, and then he wanted $800 for me so that he could put me on his website. Now, you know, this is what I'm talking about here. This is it's frustrating because I've never had that before in my life. I mean, I've had hundreds of interviews. I've interviewed hundreds of people over the years, hundreds of fighters on this program, and never once have I had anybody ask me for money. I mean, there have been guys that I've interviewed that after they reach a certain level of success, they won't even take my phone calls. You know, they won't even well, we've seen that a lot. I mean, I can name you fighter after fighter, and it's frustrating, but, you know, okay, that's fine. But I've never had anybody ask me for money. I mean, that's it's almost like the Paola scandal, you know, going back, I don't know when that occurred, in the 40s or 50s, you know. You can't do that. You really can't. So that's what we got going on here on Carson's Corner. It's been a big couple weeks. That show that we did last week with Justin McCulley racked up several thousands of downloads. Several thousand people listened to that show. It was a real good interview at the right time. You know, that's the whole key, is getting these people on the program at the right time. And logistically, logistically sometimes it's hard, you know, with my work schedule and whatnot. But we got him on at the right time. We had Justin on in 2008, and this is, you know, right after he fought, right before he was about to fight Eddie Sanchez He fought Anthony Hardunk, and he'd won. A lot of people thought that Hardunk was, you know, going to be the next big thing back then. And we you know, spoke to him, and he was on good terms with Tito at that time. He had said that Tito was training him, and Tito was recovering from an injury, and they were pretty close. He described how he met Tito, and somewhere along the way, it went wrong. And then Tito was on this radio show saying that he took Justin. Tito really has a lot of animosity towards Justin, and he repeatedly referred to him as a gimp. I don't know if that's if Justin McCauley has some sort of limp. I don't think so, because Justin McCauley has actually there's actually some possibility that he may fight Bellator, and so, you know, we're going to have to see about that, because I asked Justin about that last week, and he seemed to, you know, I almost got the impression that something was in the works, you know, something was brewing, something was happening with him and Bellator. So don't be surprised if you see Justin McCauley in the UFC or in Bellator very, very soon. And so, yeah, you can listen to that interview. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. That's where you'll find that interview, the last interview last week we did with Justin McCauley. On tonight's show, we're waiting on Dan Severn. I don't know what the mix-up is. I don't know if Dan was supposed to call in at 8 p.m., but I never got confirmation that he received the phone number to call in the program. And so we're kind of waiting for that. But, you know, if he doesn't call in, we have Dan Quinn that's scheduled to call in at 9 p.m., and Dan will be able to, you know, answer some questions and whatnot. It'll be the first time we've spoken to Dan Quinn live over the air. So, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to talk to Severn about, particularly his run at UFC 5, his loss to Royce Gracie, which, you know, Severn was a guy that really, after he lost to Royce Gracie, wanted a rematch for a long time. And, you know, certain guys, when they get into the retirement stage of their career, when they're pretty much done with the sport, they oftentimes feel the need, and I think this is with any athlete, to sort of remind people of what they did and how they did it and the importance of these fights. Because, you know, Bobby Razak, a guy who we've had on the show, is a great documentary filmmaker, one of the best in the game. And he's a guy that was really friendly with the Tap Out crew and has done a lot of work. He's done a lot for the sport. Recently, had John Peretti on his program. It was a great interview. Very a lot of old footage from back in the earlier days of the UFC with Meyerowitz and everything. And a lot of people really didn't watch the sport. Only watched the sport with the advent of the Ultimate Fighter, and they're not really familiar with, you know, Severn back in those days. What happened, you know, when he won the Ultimate, and you know, his fight versus Royce Gracie, and, you know, so many other fights, Oleg Tektarov, all these guys that really, you know, made the sport, I think, what it is today. And, you know, Severn is an intellectual guy, and Severn will tell you, you know, back in those days, there was only a few rules. You couldn't bite. And what was that? I don't think you could eye gouge, but, you know, weight classes, non-existent. You didn't have gloves back then, and it was real. It was really a primitive endeavor. And, you know, the importance of Dan Severn and his, you know, ability. Where Severn was a guy that, and he'll tell you this, that he wasn't a Frankenstein-type competitor. You know, he wasn't genetically engineered like you can argue these guys today. He was pretty much a natural guy, 6'2", 260 pounds, who, you know, as I mentioned, had been wrestling, going probably, I mean, well, you know, Seven wrestled in high school. He wrestled overseas for a long time and actually started coaching in 1971. And he had, you know, his famous stint at the Olympic trials. Seven was a guy that was pretty much all natural. And even today, at his age, Seven is actually in pretty good shape. You know, he hasn't let himself go. He's comes from a naturally strong family. You know, his brother wrestled. His sisters were apparently pretty strong. It's a lot of genetic, ability there. And you know, he was a guy that won based on his wrestling. And surprisingly enough, a lot of people don't know this, but Severn actually admitted that before the UFC, he hadn't trained in any strikes. He knew a few submissions, most likely from, you know, his wrestling days in Japan, but he didn't train any strikes. And a lot of people were asking him, well, Dan, how are you going to win? You know, how do you plan to win? He's like, well, just watch me. I'm just going to use my wrestling. And we want to discuss all this stuff. So we're going to try to reach out to Dan. I don't know what the problem is here. But with that, we're going to take a brief time out here, and we're going to see what we can do to reach Dan. You're listening to Carson's Corner. This is Bob Carson. If we don't get Dan Severn, we will have Dan Quinn at the top of the hour. So stay tuned. Keep it right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Get over here!
Questions we have as we grow, it's hard to find answers to what we don't know, but but sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life lessons and to help us to learn just what's important and what matters most. Much more than our teacher, and we call them coach. Right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand. To lead by example in words and in deeds, and show us the courage we need to succeed. And I stand before you, and I'm proud to boast I'm one of the many who's learned from the coast. To never surrender your hopes or your wisdom, courage, and kindness is how you measure a soul. The road that you travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. Our glasses and offer this toast to one who will always be known as the coach. To one who will always be known.
Great song that is by Tony Luke Jr. right here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson, and we were supposed to be joined by Dan Severn at 8 p.m. I don't know what is going on, but what we're going to do is we're going to try to reach out to Dan Quinn to get him to call in early. So this way we have an hour with Dan Quinn when he calls in, and we can ask, we can take some of your calls. And this will be good because this will be the first time that Dan Quinn has been on Carson's Corner Live since being released from jail a few months ago, from the Sacramento County Jail, where I believe Dan served over 2 years, and ultimately, I'm not sure what the conclusion was. I know he was, I think he was found guilty and sentenced to time served. I don't know the exact details there, but in any event, Dan Quinn is out. Dan Quinn has been posting videos on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA. And we've also been posting some old Carson's Corner interviews going back to, this show's been on the air for 8 years. We started back in 2006. In fact, in 2006, we had a great interview with Kung Lee. And we've interviewed a lot of fighters since then. And it was on a site called Podomatic.com. And Podomatic was a site that it had a limited storage capacity. And so after we reached our storage capacity there, a lot of shows started to get deleted, and we just didn't have it. And so we transitioned to Blog Talk Radio, which is where we've been since 2011. Blog Talk Radio is a great service that really allows you to have a a radio station in your bedroom. That's what it is. It's having a radio station in your bedroom. And we've been on here now going on for 3 years, and so our shows have been lost. But we had fans that have sent us the shows, and we're posting them on blog or on YouTube. Now, I don't have every show that we did. A lot of people were requesting the Bob Meyerowitz show. A lot of people have been requesting many different shows that we've done over the years. We have probably 80% of our shows going back to the very start of this show, 2006. And we just posted a show yesterday we did with Ken Shamrock. We had Ken Shamrock on the show back in 2009. This is right after his fight versus Ross Clifton. And we actually had Ross Clifton on the show. Ross Clifton was a very, very good friend with Dan Quinn, who's supposed to be calling the show pretty soon. And he lost to Ken via first-round armbar. And we asked Ken about the rumors circulating around that fight about it being a fake and this and that. And I got to tell you something, and I don't know if I've disclosed this on the air, but it's absolutely true. And I'm not making this up. I actually got notification before that fight took place what the result was going to be. And I got it from somebody that is well-known within MMA. And so I'm not saying that, but I know what happened to me. I got the result of that fight before it took place. And so, you could take that for what it's worth. But we asked Shamrock about that, and it's a great interview. It really is. We spoke to Ken for about 30 minutes or so. And at that time, he was supposed to fight Tank Abbott. It didn't happen. He was supposed to fight his brother Frank, and apparently Frank pulled out of the fight several times between him and Ken. And I actually remember talking to Frank about that, because there was a lot of promotion put into a matchup between him and Frank, and it never did happen. And then not too long ago, Spike TV had that documentary regarding Frank and Ken and Bob Shamrock, who passed away. And really, that was a really, really good documentary, very well done. But yeah, in any event, you could check that interview out at YouTube, at youtube.com/ Bob Carson MMA, the Ken Shamrock interview. We're posting old interviews from the old days of Carson's Corner on that YouTube channel. All right, I want to talk a little UFC, because we all saw the Ultimate Fight Night took place. And I actually got home from work, and I fell asleep. And I woke up around like 10 o'clock or 10:30, right in time for the Arlovsky Silva fight. And now Arlovsky won, obviously. Arlovsky knocks him out in the first round. Arlovsky looked good. Silva looked horrible. Silva looked slow, looked lethargic out there. I don't know what the problem was, but Antonio Silva, both these guys are in their mid-30s, basically. Silva, who negated his performance against Mark Hunt for test positive for performance-enhancing drugs, and who knows how long Silva is going to be around for. I was surprised how Arlovsky knocks him out. Arlovsky gets on the cage and starts cursing at the Brazilian fans. Arlovsky generally is a nice guy, very, very soft-spoken, gentleman-like guy. All of a sudden, he knocks out Antonio Silva. He gets on the cage and starts screaming at the Brazilian fans. But now, according to, this is what bothers me about this sport. It's really unorganized. Now, after Arlovsky beats Antonio Silva, he gets put on this rankings list as a top heavyweight. And I don't mind the fact that Arlovsky is considered the top 10 heavyweight, but who is making these ranking systems? What sanctioning body? I mean, what is this, a few websites? That's it? I mean, this is what bothers me about this sport, is that there's really no way to tell who the best heavyweight is, because there's no cooperation with promotions. There's no organized ranking system. It's just, you know, it's whoever's in the UFC, I guess. I don't know. Whoever Sherdog says is number one, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that it almost, I think it hurts the sport. It really does, because we know, I mean, it's generally regarded that the best fighters are in the UFC because of just the lion's share of fighters that they have. Okay, you know, that we saw this, you know, recently with Ben Askren, who I like. I've been critical of Askren before, but I like some of Askren's comments regarding the UFC and some of these, you know, Dana White being a bandwagon guy, and I think he's there's a lot of truth to that. But you know, what's to say that I guess, you know, based on the people he's fought, Askren wouldn't be considered one of the best fighters in his division because he's not in the UFC. And yeah, it's all relative. It really is, because I think, you know, certainly you can make an argument that Askren is the best in his weight division. I mean, Eddie Goldman would make an argument that Ben Askren is the best in his weight division, but only because of the opponents he's fought and the organizations he's fought for can he not be considered the best. It's just, it's like he who has the gold rules, and that's unfortunate, but it really is. But that's never going to happen. We're never going to have a ranking system within the UFC. You're never going to have really, you know, concrete policies with regards to, you know, title matches, title shots, and you know, the UFC has been criticized heavily over the last few years for some of their matchups, some of the fights, and whatnot. And it's unfortunate. That's what happens when you have basically a private business like the UFC. All right, so I'm going to assume that Dan Severn is there's some sort of mix-up. I don't know what's going on here. We're going to try to get Severn. We may have to record Dan Severn. I have no problem recording any fighters. And we recorded Justin McCulley last week, and it turned out great. If that's the way we can guarantee that we can get somebody on the program, especially someone of Severn's stature, then I have no problem doing that. But I want to try to reach out to Dan Quinn here, because I'd like to get an hour. We're only scheduled to go till 9:30 here on Carson's Corner, but I would like to get Dan on the program for a little bit longer so we can take some of your calls, because I think that's important stuff here. You know, a lot of people want to talk to Dan. A lot of people want to find out how he's doing in terms of his workout regimen, because, you know, when he got released, Dan was very heavy. You know, Dan didn't look good, and because he didn't have the time to train. You know, he was confined. He was locked up. But now Dan Quinn is out, and we're going to have to see, you know, how he's doing with his training. All right, so I'm going to try to call Dan Quinn right now live over the air. So just kind of bear with me here and show some respect here, okay, please.
Hello.
Hey, Dan, how are you? It's Bob Carson. We're live over the air. We're wondering if we could do this. We're supposed to be scheduled at 9 p.m., 6 p.m. your time. But Dan Severn didn't call. I don't know what's going on with him. So will you be, like, ready to go now, or do you want to call in, like, maybe 5-10 minutes, if that'll help?
Give me like, 20, all right?
Yeah, all right, good. All right, so no problem.
Okay. Right, I'll call you back.
So,
at this number or the other number?
Now call me back at this number, and we're going to have till about, we're only going to have about 35-40 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. So I'll talk to you at the top of the hour, brother.
All right. Thank you,
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was Dan Quinn. He's going to call us back in 20 minutes or so. By the way, speaking of Andre Arlovsky now is out for 180 days. That's terrible. following a injury, a medical suspension due to an injury on his wrist. And so that's kind of unfortunate. That's, what is that, almost a year and a half now, you know, or almost a half a year. Not good, but we're going to have to see what happens with him. I just thought I'd bring you that update with regards to Andrei Arlovsky and whatnot. So, wow, some weird stuff on Facebook, I got to tell you. But, yeah, so you had Andrei Arlovsky looking very, very good against his fight versus Antonio Silva. Now, there's another UFC. You've got a UFC fight night coming up on September 20th, I want to say. And, yeah, I'm so confused. There's so many cards now. Nobody knows what the hell is going on here. You can't even the guys, yeah, September 20th. That's the UFC Fight Net. I believe that's going to be in Japan, I want to say. It's, yeah, with the headliner being Roy Nelson versus Mark Hunt. Yeah, that's going to be in Japan. And you also have a very, very interesting fight here with Miles Jury. You know, I got to tell you, Miles Jury really has made a name for himself, and he's an undefeated fighter. And I remember him and looking very, very impressive. I mean, it wasn't even a close fight versus Diego Sanchez. And so that's going to be kind of interesting. They're feeding him Gomi, I think is going to be a showcase fight for Miles Jury. It should be a fight in which he could showcase his skills. I don't think that he's going to be a favorite to lose fight. Although, you know, you never know. Fighting sometimes in Japan could be a disadvantage to fighters. You know, that they sometimes have difficulty getting acclimated to the time difference, the elevation. So that there are variables there, but I do think that Miles Jury is going to be the favorite to win this fight. And you've also got Misha fighting Rin Nakai. And Rin Nakai is, I believe, also another undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, Japanese fighter. I'm going off memory here, yeah. I want to say that she's undefeated. And this is a fight that I'm looking forward to because Rin Nakai is thought of as being the queen of pancrase. And she has a real kind of bullying style. She's a little bit shorter than me. She's very, very stocky and very, very solid, you know, Japanese fighter who could do well against Misha, although I'd have to give the striking edge to Misha. But nonetheless, it's an interesting fight to see a newcomer to the ladies division in the UFC, particularly someone that's undefeated. And, you know, if Misha still is a decent fighter in that division, and I think if Nakao beats Misha, then she's really going to enter the UFC on a real positive note. And then who knows what's going to happen. You know, you've got Ronda. Ronda, I would say probably her next opponent is going to be the one that just beat Baszler, Beth. Carrera. I'm probably not pronouncing her name correctly, but she was the one that just beat Shayna Baszler in convincing fashion. She's someone that we often talk about Ronda fighting these squash matches. You know, this is a term that Ryan Langford. By the way, Ryan Langford, the famous fight sport poster and private investigator out of Iowa, who I've known for a long time, just lost his mother. And we want to wish him our condolences. He came up with the idea that Ronda is fighting these squash matches that are a term used in the fake pro wrestling, which is used to describe fighters or wrestlers getting over by just squashing their opponents. And that's what we're seeing with Ronda. I mean, Alexis Davis, it was pathetic. You know, just there's nobody that's really able to pose a challenge to Ronda, and there's really no viable competitors out there anymore. But you know, this Beth Carrera is potentially emerging as a competitor to Ronda Rousey, and so you know, we're going to have to see what happens. I certainly don't want to fight Ronda versus Gina Carano. I don't want to see that. I'm not sure if the negotiations are still alive with that, but nobody wants to see that match. I mean, that's a real squash match there, huh? But, you know, some interesting things happening with the women's division. And I got to tell you, I'm not excited to watch this new edition of the Ultimate Fighter, the 115-pound female fighters. I'm just not interested in seeing. It's just me. I don't know. I don't know what the viewership is of the Ultimate Fighter. The new season of the Ultimate Fighter was a season 57. Who knows? But, you know, the women's 115-pound division, I'm just not interested in seeing that. You know, there comes a point where the fighters are just too small, and it you know, they look small in the octagon. And I'm just not interested. I'm really not. I'm not denigrating. I'm just trying to give you my opinion. I'm not even interested in Demetrius Johnson when he fights. These guys are just too small. You don't see a lot of finishes. And you know, I don't know. I like to see, you know, 155 pounders and up. I like to see, you know, middleweights and heavyweights. I think there comes a point where fighters, they're just too small to feature and to have, you know, entertaining fights. Just my opinion, okay? Take it for what it's worth here on Carson's Corner. But that this is actually going to be this Saturday. Wow, I can't believe it's already, what is today, Wednesday, Tuesday? Okay, so that's coming up. That's going to be in a few short days. And this is what the UFC is doing now, is they're putting a lot of fight cards on. I don't know how well you know, these fight cards are doing in terms of the ratings. The last I didn't get the ratings for the last Ultimate Fight Night, UFC 51, or Ultimate Fight Night 51. But when the UFC went against Bellator, on, what is that? That was, I think, May 7th. Yeah, or no, that was May 5th, or September 5th, what am I saying? At the Foxwoods Casino, where they had Jacare beat Musasi, they had Rothwell beat Alistair Overeem. I think they did pretty well in the ratings, or I it depends on what your definition of well is, but I remember seeing something like they got, you know, just under a million viewers. And Fox Sports Net won. Fox Sportsnet is not in as many homes as Spike TV, if I'm not mistaken. And so you know, it's, I don't know if they're kind of underperforming there, because if you go back to when Shamrock Tito Ortiz, Ultimate Fight Night, one of the Ultimate Fight Night, that got over 3 million viewers. You know, that was, of course, on Spike TV. That was going way back. And you know, they did very well in terms of the ratings there. And I just, that's my thing, is the UFC putting a lot of these cards on. You know, it's difficult for people to get excited for these cards. It's almost like they're diluting the product. And is that going to have an effect on, you know, the brand of the UFC long term? Is it going to have an effect on the pay-per-view numbers? Because I don't think the UFC is getting the pay-per-view numbers that they have in the past. I really don't. You know, this Saturday would have been John Jones versus Daniel Cormier, I believe. And, of course, an injury to John Jones after that infamous brawl took John Jones off the card and basically postponed this event to January. And now, you know, you don't have a pay-per-view, and that probably was arguably going to be their biggest pay-per-view of the year, although you've got Weidman versus Belfort. I don't know how well that's going to do, but you see where I'm going with this. You see my point here is that I don't know what the, what their strategy is here, what they're trying to do here, but I don't know if it's good. I really don't. I don't know if the UFC is in decline right now. You know, you look at some of the things that happened with Dana White recently, the flack that he took for placing that judge in Macau, which is really, you know, going to do damage to the UFC over there. He's basically forced to apologize. And look at all these different things going around, and who knows? I don't know. But then again, you know, guys like myself, going back to 2008, we've been forecasting the demise of the UFC for a long time. Let's be honest. I mean, we all have, and they haven't gone out of business. They're still alive and well. The question is, really, how well are they doing? We don't know. You don't know. It's like when the WWE loses hundreds of millions of dollars. What do they lose? $700 million, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. Everybody knew about that because they're a public company. With the UFC, we don't know. We're not privy. We can only speculate as to the amount of debt that they've accumulated, as to, you know, their pay-per-view buys. We can get estimates. We don't know because it's kind of a, you know, hidden. So it's difficult to see what is going on here. But who knows? The UFC, they are a corporation, and they're run by businessmen, and businessmen want to make money. That's the end all be all right there, is making money. So we're going to have to see what happens here. We're going to take a brief time out here on Carson's Corner. We should be speaking with Dan Quinn in a few moments here, folks. Dan Quinn, the Saint of Stevia, former MMA fighter, will be calling in to Carson's Corner right here. So keep it right here on Carson's Corner. Here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. Dan Quinn should be calling in in about 5 minutes or so, okay? So we're going to be live on the air with Dan Quinn. And I'm sure you'll all be happy to know that Rosie O'Donnell has lost 50 pounds. So what is she, 300 pounds? I'm sorry, I never liked Rosie O'Donnell. I just, you know, she's just obnoxious. I just don't like her public persona. I don't care for her, okay? She's not a true progressive. She's not someone, I hate her. I really do. I hate all people on TV, I think. Most of the people you see on TV or you hear on radio, I hate. And if you want to find out why I hate these people, if you want to really go in depth about our political system and the media that we have right now, you have to listen to my political show. My political show is doing very well. We're actually working with the I'm actually a member of the Election Boycott Advocates, and we had a show yesterday. It was really, really big. We're really crafting some alternative ideas to fight the system here by withdrawing from the system. That's the ultimate form of noncompliance. It's the ultimate form of invalidating their rule. That's very, very important. And that's what Eddie Goldman does. I'll bring it back to combat sports, mixed martial arts. Is Eddie Goldman invalidates the UFC by not watching the UFC, by not participating in it. You know, occasionally you hear him talk about the UFC, but only in passing, only in reference to scandals, you know, that have occurred. Some of the antics of UFC fighters and Dana White, who recently was voted one of the most sleaziest sports figures, according to GQ magazine, which I don't care. GQ magazine is a corporate owned newspaper. It's a corporate owned magazine. So therefore it's invalid because it's institutional structure. But I think there's some truth to that. Dana White has really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, seemingly by his classless behavior in which other, you know, sports team owners. I mean, we hear about, you know, sports team owners all the time getting in trouble for their innate racism, some of the comments and whatnot. Well, you know, Dana White is really, really different because Dana White, I think his values, his behavior is consistent with the fan base of the UFC. What you see, you know, what these people want when they tune into The Ultimate Fighter in the past and see the disgusting behavior illustrated on The Ultimate Fighter, that's consistent. That's what you know, the UFC puts out there. There's no question about that. And Bellator to a certain extent, too. I mean, let's be honest here. You know, Eddie and I just covered Bellator, and we had a good time. And Bellator, you know, I had a really, really good time, and it was great press access we had, and Eddie had access to the fighters, and I met people from Spike TV, very, very nice. David Schwartz of Spike TV, very, very nice guy, and Scott Coker, a lot of people like Scott Coker. Even Ortiz has respect for Scott Coker. He says that he's not fake like Dana White. But you know what? Bellator it has done the same thing to a certain extent as the UFC. We have to be fair. Okay, you know, some of the stuff that King Mo has done, has said, Bellator has made promos out of this. You don't have it as much as the UFC, but it's there. Nonetheless, it's there with you know, with the Tito and Stefan brawl, so to speak, that type of stuff. I wouldn't say it's the same. It's to the same degree as we see with the UFC. But it is there. And, you know, some of the things that the World Series of Fighting and their guy has done, I forget the guy's name, but sort of like a Dana White almost wannabe out there, you know, it's the culture. Remember, the corporations own the culture, okay? You can't see anything that's not owned by a corporation. You know, you can't watch a television show or read a magazine or newspaper or whatnot, and it not being owned by the corporate media. The 1% create and establish the culture. There's no question about that. So the next time you hear somebody talking about the gangster rap culture and you know, the culture of poverty, understand who owns that culture, who created that culture. It's very, very important stuff. All right, we're supposed to be talking with Dan Quinn. Dan will be actually calling in about 5 minutes or so, giving us an update here, a live update on Carson's Corner. Don't know what happened with Dan Severn, okay? I didn't line up Dan Severn. We did that through a third party, and Severn was supposed to call 8 p.m. I don't know what happened. I really don't. I have a feeling we'll be able to get him, though. We'll be able to, at the very least, record an interview with Dan Severn and play it right here on Carson's Corner, which I would love, because we have so many questions for Dan. Yeah, and Dan will answer them. From the interviews I've seen with him, he's happy to talk to the media out there. He'll probably answer these questions, and he'll share his perspective on these different issues. Dan is actually in pretty good standing with the UFC. I think the UFC has done a lot to reach out to some of the Hall of Famers out there. You know, I mentioned Ken Shamrock earlier in the program. Well, Ken Shamrock actually reconciled with the UFC and Dana White. And, you know, because you remember that interview that Dana White did about Ken Shamrock and the lawsuit, and called Ken Shamrock a piece of, "I'm coming for the money, Ken." I guess I don't know if he's still coming for the money or whatever. Ken Shamrock supposedly owed the UFC hundreds of thousands of dollars for the lawsuit that he filed against them, and he ended up losing. Who knows? I don't know. But I guess enough they're coming for the money, Ken. Ridiculous. How ridiculous was that from Dwight? But that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a lot of guys now, Hall of Fame guys, that are you know, they really have no choice. I mean, you know, what is a guy like Mark Coleman going to do now? You know, I feel bad because even going back to 2008 and 2009, you know, it was pretty much well documented Mark Coleman's financial troubles. And, you know, we confirmed that through Wes Sims and others. And, you know, I spoke to Wes last year, maybe earlier this year. Probably earlier this year I spoke to Wes Sims on the air, and the UFC had given him a job within the Ultimate Fighter, but yeah, you feel bad for these guys. The Hall of Famers of our sport are not doing well financially, and you know, you hear about it. I mean, Ken is a guy who recently refuted the idea that he's bankrupt. He said he's got a private business now, a bodyguarding business. He was doing pretty well. But you know what? I remember the time when Shamrock fought Fujita years ago, that famous fight. And at the time, he was living in a two-bedroom apartment with like four children. You know, so you just got to wonder about the financial state of these fighters, and it's an indictment on our sport. In my opinion, it's an indictment on ownership in the UFC and whatnot. You know, I mean, it's like at least the NFL players. You hear about NFL players that are broke too. I mean, I could tell you about even guys from the tri-state area that are just broke and are just, you know, reduced to doing, you know, local commercials for, you know, auto dealers and whatnot. But you know what? With the UFC, it's different. With mixed sports, it's different because everything is based on these fighters, and these fighters are out there front and center. They're not part of a football team. You know, I mean, yeah, the NFL grosses. I mean, I can't imagine how much the NFL grosses. The 32 teams in the NFL, the billionaire team owners, the profits relative to what is going to the players. But it's the same thing with the UFC, where the owners of the company take a ridiculous share of the revenue generated. And you know, you look at these UFC fight cards where, you know, the whole card, the entire, all the fighters in the card received like $1 million or $2 million between all of them, which is just peanuts. It's nothing. It's unfortunate, but I think it's an indictment on the sport. I really do, because I know a lot of these guys are struggling financially, and you know, they really have nowhere else to go but to essentially submit to the UFC. I mean, yeah, you got a few guys like Pat Miletich and Boss Rutten, and others that can, you know, find work here and there, but by and large, these guys are struggling. You know, one of the things that it's coming out now, and, you know, I was supposed to have an interview with Eddie Goldman on the show. Eddie and I spoke after the Liberty Bell Catch Wrestling Championship that we both covered in August 30th. And, you know, we had this interview with Eddie's 15-minute interview, and the timing got screwed up, and I can't play it on Block Talk Radio for some reason, which really pisses me off. But one of the points that Eddie made was the medical evidence that is coming out now is, and as we learn more about, you know, brain trauma and all that stuff, Dan wants me to call him now. I'll call him now. You know, who knows what these fighters are going to go through in another year or two, you know?
Bob Carson.
Hey, Dan, we're on the air, brother.
Glad to hear your voice again.
Good, man. Good. We're live. I'm gonna try to get people to call in, but just let people know what you've been doing. How have you? This is the first time we've spoken to you live ever since you've been released from Sacramento County Jail. Are you training now? What type of shape are you in?
I'm in deplorable shape. I'll tell you what, man. No matter what you do inside a cell, it's confining. It's like turning humans into hamsters. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's gonna take a little bit. But you know, one thing I should be doing when I'm working out that I'm not is getting stoned and taking a lot of stevia. That actually seems to help the cardio. But yeah, so what I'm doing is melting the fat out of my body at a furious pace, man. I bought this fat burner, you know, a neoprene waist belt, and there's different slots that you can zip it up in. And the first time it was hard as hell to get it on, and now I'm on the first slot easy. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
okay.
I'm not sure how many pounds I've lost, but it's going to be a dramatic weight loss. You know, what else do I have? I tell you what, Bob. Have you ever heard of Ken.com?
Yes.
Okay. What do you know about Ken.com? Sounds like a fairly decent guy.
Well, I've only seen what you've posted about them, or what you've said about them on your YouTube videos. So I haven't really done that much research on them.
Okay. Well, I would like anybody and everybody that hears this, you know, why not send an email? I've sent several to Ken.com or things on the internet that say he's Ken.com. You know, I have people pretending to be me. So I imagine that Ken.com has people pretending to be him as well. Probably a lot more. You know what I'm saying? And thing about it is he's getting fucked by the U.S. government. And the U.S. government said that stevia was bad and should be illegal. And lots of it fucking cures, you know. Lots of stevia in the American diet, outlawing toxic sugar, cane sugar. It's a virtual health utopia. But can you imagine the overpopulation problem if die-off stopped and people started living to 100?
Oh, yeah.
too many fucking people, my name.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so anybody and everybody that's on my team, you know, it's funny. When you're famous, everybody's jocking you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to get on your job. But when nobody knows who you are, people don't listen to anything. And have you heard of anybody in the MMA community using stevia to energize for fights?
Not recently, no. Not since Diego and not since Aaron. By the way, I don't have Aaron's contact information. I know you wanted me to contact him, but I lost all my contacts. I got to try to get in touch with him as well.
You know what? I lost all my contacts too. When I was buying a new phone, you know, they all got lost. How in the fuck? I'm set back huge. I need a miracle, kind of like a kin.com, to swoop in and have a scientist in his country that probably isn't befuddled by fucking too much fluoride in their water system to validate that stevia splits water apart into a natural gas. Okay? That's significant. I told you I was selling a cleaning machine, a vacuum replacement. The vacuums don't fucking work. I'll tell you what, Bob. The fact that vacuums are sold in every major department store across the United States, it shows you what an evil country the United States is, okay? Because vacuums don't work, homeboy. You saw the machine that I used, right? It was fucking amazing, wasn't it? The Patriot.
Yes.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yep.
It's like nothing people have ever seen, okay? I made a lot of money selling it. I don't want to go back to doing that. What I want to do is get stevia splitting water apart into a natural gas, kin.com, famous, okay? I proved it. The fact that I made water heavier by taking soap out, okay? I didn't add something to the water, okay, to make it heavier. I took shit out. And you know what that did? That took away the lighter man-made chemicals. I guess hydrogen is a little bit heavier than most of that shit. And, you know, in a fucking 3.5 milliliter or 500 milliliter gallon, you know, little handheld bottle, I made it 3 to 3.5 grams heavier, Bob. This is scientific shit, but you know what? When Peachy laps what I call pure H2O in perfect fucking health, okay? I mean, Peachy was a write-off on me. And I think I have another write-off situation coming up. Bryce Peeler from Nevada City and Placer County. He was my celly for a year, and I love him like he's my brother. And he has a friend named Mike up there who has a dog named Capone. And Capone, I guess, is doing pretty bad with bladder cancer. And I'm saying that Capone's going to come back into perfect health laughing stevia water. Okay? It's too bad that this stevia movement is so has been so hindered that I'm still waiting for a fucking an animal to cure. You feel me? You know, I'll tell you what. You know what's the tragedy, Bob? Is that Priscilla, Mike Gonzalez's ex, Priscilla has stage 4 cancer. Then I have an email from my mom saying, fantastic news, 8! Priscilla's cured, okay? Priscilla started drinking stevia water, started shitting up a storm, shit of cancer out of her body, and then she stopped using stevia and she's dead.
Wow.
I fucking, you know, what are you going to do? Get so fucking close.
Now, let me ask you, Dan, are you training at the same gym that you were training when I was out there?
No. I have to, if I want to, I have to renew my membership.
Okay.
Now, I'm still kind of fucked up, you know. I've been out of the game for a long 2 years. It feels weird. You know what I'm saying? I have to, you know, all I can say is Roddy Pysock got a video of me, and I showed my belly, okay? And it was fucking huge when I got released. And my boys saw me at the end of a week, and they're like, oh, damn, you know what? He's lost a lot of weight. And it's going to continue to go like that. I mean, I'm going to go lean and rip, but then again, I was leaning and rip before, and what did it do? It did hardly anything. What I need, what do I do? Do I go to scientist after scientist, you know, showing them stevia, splitting water apart, tripling in size, water vanishes, turns into a white bubbly soup, white female PhD that bought a Patriot and then BR'd within 3 days. She kicked the deal. She has said, oh, wow, it's a gas. You know, and, you know, there's going to be more than one PhD mind out there that's going to say, wow, yeah, water splitting apart, tripling in size, vanishing. That, by definition, meets the gas thing, all right? And, you know, this might be boring shit, but put it like this, Bob. Bob, I got hands, homie, okay? If what it takes to get fucking Stevie famous is me fighting, okay? Didn't work out so well before the first time, did it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got a lot of notoriety. I mean, a lot of people follow you, and a lot of people, you know, want to know what you've got going on, and they're interested in Stevia. And you know, you may not won your last few fights, but I wouldn't say that it didn't work out too well, because you know, some of your fights on YouTube have gotten thousands of hits. And
okay, it's like this, Bob. If I had the same Stevia chemistry going on for Aaron Brent and Terry Gopal. You know, I mean, I got set up by Cal Worsham, homeboy. I mean, you know what, Cal, do you realize how petty you're going to look when the truth comes out? Okay? Cal started doing Stevia before he fought Bo Cantrell for a heavyweight championship and a gladiator challenge. And, and Cal was training furiously for this fight, right? And Cal fucking sort of had, man. He went from the flabby, you know, soft-looking cow, 40-something cow, to looking like a mirror of his high school self, okay, just a little bit older, you know what I'm saying? Lost 22, you know, 22 pounds in like 30 days, because he was training for a fight, so it really kicked in. And, you know, the fact that he sets me up with Harry Gopal, and he won't fucking... I mean, he should be a poster boy for Stevia. You know what I'm saying?
Do you even talk to Cal anymore?
No, I haven't talked to Cal for a long time.
You know what happened?
Well, I mean, when Cal fucking tells me that there's a fucking tarp over the cage when I'm fighting Harry Gopal, and that there's jet heaters surrounding the cage. Okay, so the jet heater is going to be blowing hot air up into this tarp, and it's going to catch it, and it's going to be like this little warm environment, okay? And then I get up there, and it's fucking freezing fucking cold, man. I'm like, wow. And now, I actually went out into that fight not thinking. I went out in a fucking, excuses are like assholes, man, but I went out in a wet, cold fucking shirt instead of like changing, because I forgot to bring another one. You know what I'm saying? It was like this, man. Okay, I'm a bad motherfucker, homie, when I'm pissed. And when I was on 8 West 200 pod, I knocked Taz, Maniac Taz, Sack Maniac Taz out. Okay, one punch, boom, you know what, put him on his pockets in front of Snubs and all the Oak Park Zillas, and in front of all the Northerners. I guess they were chanting my name. Dan Quinn, that's what Brad Steeler said when I was downstairs. And when I'm pissed, man, I've got hands, homie. And so, you know, what I would like, you know, I'm just throwing this out there now. Give me a rematch, man. Just hands, homie, just like we fucking said, I thought. And this time I won't fucking, run my nose into a knee, okay? In the first, 30 seconds of the fight and shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody thinks they have hands, you know what I'm saying? But then when it comes down to it, do they really, okay? And what are they doing willing to prove it?
How much do you weigh now, Dan?
You know what? I don't know, Bob. I don't have a scale. I know I weigh a lot less than 260. 260 is what I have.
Right.
What I weighed when I got out of jail. So, okay. Yeah, from 205 to 260, I put 55 pounds of shit.
And are you still training your son? How is that going?
We haven't started yet, but it's going to start. And, he's going to be bad, man. He's going to be fucking, he's a smaller version of me. He can punch. And so, the way I look at it, I gave Scott Smith hands. I like to fight Scotty. Do you think, Scott Smith is, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, sure. You hear that, Scotty? Sure. You know what, Scott? This is true, dude. If I don't fucking give you hands before you fight Jamie Hart, no one even knows who the fuck you are, dude, okay, outside of your family circle, okay, and maybe, Elk Grove High School, okay? I swear to God, this is no shit, Bob. When I started training Scotty, he was scared to death of Jamie, okay? Nervous as fuck. Jamie's big and bad, and Scotty didn't know how to punch, okay? And I crafted that fucking 9-second knockout. We practiced nothing but that 9-second knockout, okay? I pretended to be Jamie. I'd come in. I'd fucking fire off, okay, just like Jamie did. And then just like Jamie did, I'd stop and fucking, that was the key. Right hand, left hook, and Scott fucking broke his occipital bone, broke Jamie's occipital bone and knocked him out in 9 seconds, okay? And he ended up in the UFC. If I don't teach Scott Smith hands, no one knows who the fuck he is. His own brother told me, you know what? The family was talking, and before fucking Scotty met you, he was a ground and pound guy. After Scotty met you, he fell in love with his hands. Feel me? So,
yeah.
One thing I don't understand is all these people out here that are fighting and want hands, even like Uriah Faber, he don't have them. Did you see his last fight?
Did he win, right, or lost?
I think he lost, okay? And I'm thinking that Uriah didn't get any hands from, he had a dude that looked like Bruce Lee and shit down there at his gym. And he looked pretty, but did he have hands?
Yeah, he fought Alex Karkaris, Bruce Leroy, the fighter, and he won, yeah. That was July. Yeah, I remember that. He won rear naked choke, but his last fight before that versus Henan Barao, he lost, and that was in February.
Yeah. I'm not going to give away the. Should I save it all for my son? Because no one's going to do it anyway. Everybody knows how to punch, Bob. Everybody knows how to punch. But how many people feel real comfortable fucking, the punches coming at them and shit, so they can be, thinking about hitting back. Not many. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I did with Scotty. I fucking started with the jab, worked all the way up into combinations, okay? And Scott just sitting and defending, okay? Building his cage and then fucking, opening up and punching. And, it worked for Scotty to the UFC. And, I'm going to do it with my son. And, I think Brock Lesnar should do it too. isn't it didn't a lot of people say that Brock was a coward after his last fight? Bob. Bob Carson. Bob.
All right, we're live. Sorry about that. The internet kicked us off here. We're going to try to reconnect back with Dan Quinn now. So we've got about 9 minutes left.
Bob Carson.
Hey, sorry about that. The internet kicked us off. Please continue.
All right. Where were we?
I lost you after we were talking about Uriah.
Well, you know, Uriah.
We're talking about Scott Smith, actually.
Uriah Scott Smith. People wanting to have hands and not having them. I mean, anybody can take you to the ground. You know, oh, fucking son of a bitch. What the? How in the fuck did this? I just bought some milk at fucking Costco, and it fucking opened up all over the fucking back. God damn, man. How in the fuck?
What did you buy?
I bought milk. And for some reason, it's leaking all the fuck over the place. I'm wondering why and what the fuck, you know. Anyway, we'll get back to business here. I think it was just fucking... Wow. Yeah, so anyhow, Bob, buying me is for somebody to talk to the local scientists, okay, about testing the validity of stevia, splitting water, and turning it into split H2O. It's a natural gas. It's the only natural gas that water could be. What people don't know, Bob, and see, this is a big one, okay? This is a big one. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Water is already a gas, okay? Water is petroleum gas, on what? Okay? Straight up, petroleum gas, if you look it up, it says the chemical composition is H14 plus C6, basically, okay? H14... Bob, you're fairly intelligent, okay? H for hydrogen, that's a lot of hydrogen in that molecule chain. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay? It's a flammable fucking hydrogen gas, okay? You add an oxygen to hydrogen, you can drink it. You add petroleum to it, you turn it to, or you add a carbon to it, turn it into petroleum gas, okay? And you know what? That's why fucking water is vanishing. Even though fucking 900 billion tons of ice fell off the Antarctic, okay? Antarctica. 900 billion tons of fucking ice fell back into the water over the last 10 years. Do you know how much 900 billion tons is, Bob?
I can't imagine, yeah. That's
900 billion, okay? We're talking about enough water to fucking sink Florida. So, you know, I mean, you keep, you're politically correct, correct? I mean, you keep up with politics, correct? Okay? Weren't you aware that Al Gore was basically, he said, you know what, there's going to be fucking massive tidal waves and fucking flooding and shit because of global warming. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where your 900 billion tons goes, Bo. Okay? But, Folsom Lake in Sacramento here is fucking virtually dry because of the drought. And, chalk that up to internal combustion engines, man. Vanishing hydrogens. Okay, hydrogens are a fucking finite source, right? They don't grow on trees. I think the computer said, or Google said that if you asphyxiate red algae, it'll madly start to fucking produce hydrogen. Okay? Kind of interesting, I think.
Absolutely. But you know what? It's like it's all this stuff. We're talking about global warming and talking about the ruining of our planet, and it's just based on the market based system that the market based system that we have is built on waste and inefficiency, and as long as we continue to abide by it and we ignore nature, and you know, we allow the corporations to run wild, then we can't expect any different result. You know, it's going to take you Florida to be underwater for some sort of reaction, for some sort of change. And I don't have any hope anymore, Dan. You know, I don't know about you, but
okay. You know what? Yeah, I pretty much lost all hope. That's why I'm trying to reach out to Ken Tom. Okay, He's famous enough that if he actually lent his intellect, okay, it wouldn't even take that much money, all right? Offer $50,000, $5,000. I should have done that when I got out of jail, all right? I fucked up. Offer money, okay, to the first person that fucking validates stevia's plus water into place to well, okay? I mean, how hard can it be? You know, that's pretty simple. And there's going to be somebody out there that's like, oh, wow, you know what? That is gas. You know, water cycles into gas, and then it slowly cycles back into water. You see this shimmering. You saw it, remember? The shimmering and stuff fell down, and then water starts to slowly form. That's hydrogen falling out of the natural gas, making water. All that soap. Okay, the fact that it's a finite source, the fact that I can get it all out, the fact that in the past it made new water heavier than before, and when Peachy fucking drank this shit, she came back into perfect health. 17 years old, Bob. Okay? I'm going to do it again. You know, I've had so much of my time stolen by the police, it's not even funny. You know, illegally arrested by Placer County and then released and then fucking set up on a sting. You know what I'm saying? They sent me to Folsom Prison, okay, because, you know what, they lied and they said that I spit when I didn't and there was no fucking prior precedent. Do you know how much time that sold, Bob? You know, it cost millions of lives, man. Have you gotten on TV yet, Bob?
No, I'm supposed to. Riley was supposed to send it to me. I never got it, and I have to get on it because I just tried Xenadrine, and that didn't work. We got a minute left, but you know, even if I can't get it sent to me, I have to talk to you to see where the best place is to get it, because I got to try something new now. I'm down to about 233 right now, and I want to get down to like 205. But Dan, we got a minute left. Why don't you just wrap it up for us and tell people you've got YouTube videos that you're posting and just kind of let people know how they can keep in contact with you.
Well, you know what? Science Summit is dying of cancer that wants to live and is willing to stevia up. I mean, how hard can it be? Talk to a scientist that you know. Blend stevia and water and see if they also go, wow, that's a gas. You know, I've already had one PhD, and then my uncle's a college graduate, and he confirmed gas, too. And I can't even get in touch with him now. I have no idea, even if he's still alive. You know what? I don't have much. I really don't. I know for a fact that I'm going to get lean and ripped again, okay? I know for a fact that I'll probably play the violin again like I did like 2 weeks ago. Had a you still there, Bob?
Yeah, I've got about that 10 yeah. seconds left again.
Okay, yeah, play the violin. It worked, okay? And she was going to do a movie, and now she's back with daddy's, baby's daddy. You know what I mean? What the fuck, all right? Crazy women, life. I don't have much hope, but you know what? I'm going to keep plugging along.
Likewise, me too, Dan. Thanks a lot for coming on Carson's Corner, and we'll speak to you sometime down the road, my friend.
Thank you, Bob. Peace.
Take care, brother. All right, that's it. Friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA and like the Carson's Corner Facebook page at facebook.com/CarsonsCorner13. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show respect.